Danny's gonna be like, you guys suck at intros when I'm not there. Cheers! Welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the BitPubs audio podcast in which we have a conversation about relating to console video gaming one way or another, past, present, and future. And whilst doing so, we're imbibing in a few too many fine craft beers and spirituous beverages. Thanks, James. My name is Ian Greer, and I've got a few friends chatting and drinking with me this week. Starting off, Mr. James Lambert.
Hello.
Very good, James. Also hanging out with us for a second time, popping his cherry again, handsome Patrick.
I have two cherries.
He had a born-again cherry.
A born-again cherry. Handsome Patrick. Everybody.
Christianity.
That's which is what this podcast is about. Christianity. this week, with the launch of Twilight Princess HD, we thought it'd be a good time to discuss something we talked about doing drunkenly a little while ago, and that is, what are our favorite Zelda games, or what is our favorite Zelda game, however you want to lexicon that one up, and why is it our favorite? If you want to know, stick around. If you don't, just, press pause right now and stop listening.
That's you can press stop, press and stop. Then pause listening.
And then pause listening.
We're just, don't know delete. What kind of player this is on.
Yeah, we have no
probably
idea.
An MP3. Maybe an MP4.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. It's like an old SanDisk MP3 player. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Internet and SanDisk distribution. All that and more on A Bit Drunk.
Where's your loyalty to your podcast?
Yeah, man. This podcast was here before. For your child. Technically, that argument works.
It's true. Right.
Why don't we play video games, right? Or do we just drink?
Yeah.
We play? Yeah. Patrick, I'm going to start with you. What if you, nope.
No?
So we got to talk about what we're drinking first.
We can talk about both at the same time.
Jinx. Buy me a Coke.
Been touching my dick and drinking a lot of beer.
we got one joystick I've been playing with. My penis.
I've got dual sticks. Is that
that's weird?
Normal?
You're like that dude.
I've
from
heard
Reddit.
About that.
Yeah, right.
We'll bring it up again.
Yeah,
it's a
good guy
it's
with two penises.
I saw a video one time of a guy from Mexico with two penises.
I've seen that as well. Was that the same one where he was peeing on a wall?
Yeah,
and
two
pee
like
things.
Yep.
Two pee things.
Yep. I've classic.
Two pee things.
Yeah. Two pee things. There's your episode title. Two pee things. Our favorite Zelda.
There's three of us and only two pee things. Figure it out. This time on A Bit Drunk.
We're drinking some stuff. We've been drinking. It's been fun. Patrick, let's start with you because you're upgraded from raccoon piss.
Yeah,
from
raccoon the last time. Piss.
Yeah, what you got with you this week?
I have still hippie shit. same hippie shit.
It's now skunk piss.
Not even different hippie shit. Unity Vibration again. Kombucha beer, but this time
are you picking up good vibrations?
Pardon? Yes.
Yeah.
It's Unity Vibrations though, Ian.
So it's not good vibrations.
It's not
unfamiliar
a Beach Boys
with
song.
Good vibrations.
It's Beach Boys.
Okay,
Beach Boys.
Yeah. This one tastes good though. Yeah. This one tastes real good.
Real good.
Yeah, bourbon peach it says on the bottle. And taste that way.
Bourbon peach. Taste sounds like way. A girl I knew once.
Only once? That's all you needed
to know?
That's
all she handle.
Yeah.
She just passed out right afterwards.
Or was that me? I think I passed
Maybe
out.
Maybe I was just dreaming. I've what? Never seen a girl.
What dream? I don't know what girls are. Girls are frightening.
Mm-hmm.
James Lambert.
Girls are frightening by James Lambert. The end.
It was a good book. A little brief. Still a good book. Read it today. But I mean, I'm glad you upgraded, because I think what you said before the last one was like a little too grapefruity.
Yeah, no, it was bitter as fuck, and I didn't like it.
Was it a kombucha grapefruit?
It was. It was this exact same brand and type of beer, but it just tasted terrible.
Would you sounds recommend, good. Based on this one being better, would you say like, hey, if hey, you
give
want
these guys
to,
a second
yeah,
chance.
Yeah, give yeah, go check out Unity Vibrations Bourbon Peach. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If you
especially if you're a paleo kid too, right?
Yeah, like no,
if you're,
that's yeah, right. I yeah. forgot to mention, because paleo, always paleo. This beer is paleo. It's pretty good as far as paleo.
If you're questioning the science of the name,
drink beer?
What's that?
Yes, yeah, no, absolutely.
If you're questioning the science of the name, don't, because it won't make sense.
Yeah.
Did cavemen have peaches?
Millions of peaches.
And bourbon.
And bourbon. Cavemen had bourbon.
Yeah,
right.
Mostly bourbon. They were, is what right, they had.
As long as
I mean,
we're
as I mean, there were Scottish fine. Cavemen. Yeah. Like, yeah, we were.
A few
we were,
cavemen like, stomachs yeah. have shown peaches, but almost all of them have shown bourbon consumption.
Yeah. They were in Kentucky. And Scotland.
Kentucky cavemen.
Yeah.
Kentucky
and Scotland. Yeah, that's where they had. Mm-hmm. They were still figuring out fire and were in terrible fear for their lives for all the animals.
I think Scottish people are still, to this day, figuring out fire.
Yeah.
Not sure if they know how it works.
We yeah.
They don't.
We don't. You know, we got, like, it's the simple things, really.
Skirts.
We get some things figured out so well. Hey, we got the Renaissance started. Fire? No, we can't. We're still working on that one. But, you know, someday.
Have not made fire.
Yeah, onward and upward. That's our. Pete. Yeah, good with Pete. Good with smoking things.
Mm-hmm.
Good with the early parts of
you got
fire.
The smoke, just not the flame.
So it's like, fuck, we just get this to burn. Well, let's make delicious whiskey and salmon.
In their defense, it's pretty wet in Scotland.
It is pretty wet.
So it's like that's kind of.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's bogs everywhere.
Yeah.
Wade Boggs is everywhere. Anybody?
Just a big
baseball?
Old dip in his.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Yeah. It was a baseball joke that somebody else gets.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I brought a beer too.
Yeah,
I brought Scarlet from Speakeasy. This is a Scarlet, or sorry, Speakeasy is a local beer to us here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Brewery Speakeasy is up in San Francisco. They always make really, really delicious stuff. You can probably get. Big Daddy and Prohibition, and probably even Metropolis from them pretty mm-hmm. regularly. I think I've heard reports that that's making its way across the Mississippi a little bit more and more frequently.
To the east?
Towards the east coast, the east coast. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Am I right?
You are absolutely
yeah.
right.
Thank you.
Don't tell that hardcore band H2O, though.
No, I won't. We'll keep it on the DL. I've been really digging rye lately, like rye ales and rye pale ales and such. So I saw this one. I mean, they've been cutting this one for a little while. They do it in limited batches. But I feel like when I smell this one, it smells like marble rye bread. If you want to give that a – I just pick up that something in there if you've ever had that. Yeah, so it's just like that nice little
it's nice and spicy
to it.
And toasty.
Yeah.
And
which is, we're kind of hitting the end like of quote-unquote winter here. Ooh, yeah. Like a redhead. And so if you actually look at the bottle, there's a saucy Prohibition-era redhead singing mm-hmm. into a microphone on there. And this is her bottled. we liquefied her and put her into a bottle.
Just a giant blender. All the gingers went into a giant blender. Chewed them up because they're evil anyways, so you might as well just grind them up, put them in a meat grinder.
That is a true fact.
And make beer out of them.
Yeah. But Speakeasy Scarlet, if it's near you, go pick some up, especially if it's cold near you, because we're kind of at the trail end of our quote-unquote winter here.
Which is spring,
where we actually get rain and things. But if it's cold near you and you have access to Speakeasy Scarlet, yeah, go get this. So this will warm you up. You'll probably want a podcast and talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just very conducive
you're welcome.
To that. Yeah, you're welcome. Patrick, have you been playing any interesting games lately?
Not the dumb ones. We don't want to hear about those.
Yeah.
Skip
None
the dumb ones.
Skip kay? The stupid games.
No. No, I finished.
Well, that was our podcast.
Tell us about the dumb ones.
Yeah. What dumb games have you
played? No, I haven't played anything new. I finished Firewatch.
You were talking about that last time.
It was great. It was super short. I was thinking
that has been sitting in my to-play list. Yeah,
But it was a really short game. But it was a really great game.
But yeah, it's what, like 3-5 hours at max, somewhere around there?
It took me only like 3 hours to finish
it.
And I wouldn't say taking my time, but I like to explore, and it still only took me
three hours. You're not like trying to speedrun this thing at all.
It was good. I hope I didn't spoil it by telling anybody that it was short.
Oh, I'm not playing it now.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love that game.
Well, I guess I'll just delete that from my download list.
They got my money. I don't need to play it.
That's all I wanted to know was it short, which is why I play them.
I get nothing else out of the game. The game just has to be long. It doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
It just got to be long.
The onset of every Zelda, terrible. I want to know.
As long as it's got the length.
How long is it?
Yeah. If it's got the leg.
It's not about the girth. Just
don't need depth or girth.
I'm fine with a spaghetti noodle.
How long is your Zelda?
700 hours. I'm in. 5 hours. Nope.
And then I've been playing Metal Gear still.
Metal Gear Solid 5?
You can play Metal Gear.
Metal Gear for the NES.
Yes.
Which right. Okay, the only, so the original. The,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only Metal Gear, right?
That's the only one? It's, yeah, there's been no others. No
those
others.
Damn dogs every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dogs. It's very true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
But, yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5, it's like, that's just going to be an ongoing game. And I think the downside is it's hard to play that in like a 20-minute, half-an-hour increment because you might...
My life is busy. It's down to like one mission. I play a mission a week.
We're adults.
Yeah,
I know that
life gets in the way.
If you are like, if you're like 12 years old and for some reason listening to this podcast,
stop.
Yeah, quit it. Go do drugs or something. That's what I started doing at 12. Wait, no. But you know, if you are listening to this, enjoy the hell out of your time right now. When you can sit down and play 8 hours of a video game. I know you're probably always hearing adults telling you, like, oh, enjoy your, like, well, it's young. No, I always heard that, and I never listened to it, and I really wish I did, because I'm super pissed that I get, like, 20 minutes, half an hour at a game at a time.
I wish to be, like, really ill sometimes.
Yeah, where it's like, so, I just got to sit at home.
There's no way I can do anything productive except just lay on this couch and play video games all fucking day.
I've played Final Fantasy IX in one sickness.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid, one sickness. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wishing for that strip.
My advice for the 12-year-olds is to find a way to become hopelessly jaded with games before you discover women or jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you won't look back longingly at all what you're missing. Oh,
find some way to get it out of your system right now.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even know how to cheat those new modern thermometers, the electronic ones. Like, I used to just take the old mercury one and just stick it on the light bulb and like heat it up. I'm like, oh, fuck, I have a fever, Mom. I didn't say, fuck, I have a fever, Mom, because I was like a little kid. But
hey, Mom, fuck, Mom.
Shit, fuck, Mom. Fever, Mom. Oh, I should probably not go to fucking school today.
I learned that from E.T.
Exactly. That's where I learned it, too. Yeah. Thanks, E.T. Thank you, Steven Spielberg.
Thanks. Hollywood.
Let me stay home at least once. I don't know if my mom really bought it because she wasn't dumb, but... It works. So.
You have a fever of 212?
Yeah. You're boiling right now.
Yeah.
Sorry. My mom might have 70% water. Me for the idea.
Right. Exactly.
You can stay home because that's clever.
That's mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
But
job.
You're an asshole, so
yeah.
But I mean, I definitely miss being sick all the time.
Yeah.
Or at all, so I can play video games.
Yeah. Hi, May. What you been playing?
I have been not playing anything good or new.
Have you been playing bad and old?
Yeah, thank you.
Bad and old. No, I'm still like just fiddling around with the same old crap.
Same bullshit.
Shooting people and
this is like, in real life though.
Yeah. I mean it's hard out there in the streets of San Jose.
Mean streets of San Jose.
Yeah, so I haven't picked up anything new. And
that's okay.
I've got nothing interesting
in my life. Okay.
Because I haven't been sick.
Maybe let's all get James.
I'm gonna go lick doorknobs.
That's a good idea.
Nice.
I'm gonna go into the bathroom.
Everybody who's sick and listening to this podcast, cough into envelopes and just send them to James.
Please, I need your sicknesses. Yeah, just, I need to be at home on my couch so I can
just play
catch
video
up.
Games.
Thank you.
Nice.
Also, I'm happy taking your cash.
You would, yeah. That's.
Cough on some cash.
Cough on your money. I will lick your money, and then I will take it to the bank.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's something you can take to the bank.
I'll buy cough medicine with it because it got me sick. Well, I mean, I have been playing something old. But not bad.
Something old and something new and something blue borrowed.
I blew someone that I borrowed.
I borrowed an
old person who was new to me. And
they were new to you?
Yeah, and I blew them.
All right.
Someone blue.
Yeah, I think that's all. I think I got everything.
Someone did you have blues,
old,
please?
New, borrowed, blue. Yeah, boom. Nailed this. And now I'm a blushing bride. There you go.
You look great in that dress, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I am not taking
this is your
thing
day
off. This thing was fucking expensive. I'm not taking it off. Yeah.
Today is your day.
Yeah. Nobody else has this day.
Nope. No one else is.
If somebody else is getting married on the same day,
it's not possible.
Fuck them. Not possible. Nope. Yeah. Dumbasses.
There's like 7 billion people in the world. Nobody else is getting married today.
Impossible.
Nope.
Kim Possible, I would even say.
Oh, wow.
It's Kim Possible. I have been playing, you'll like this one, Patrick. I've been playing, wrapping up Xenogears.
Oh, shit.
Wrapping it up?
You can't do that. This has been
a quest that you've been on for like 6 months.
Did you start when you were
17? But when I say wrapping up, I'm on disc 2.
Out of 8.
Yeah, out of like 40. But no, I made significant progress. Yeah, playing on floppy disks.
Always. Ian's always playing on floppies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
slide whistle down. But no, I've been making really good progress in that game. Good God, that's such a good, like, it's available on PSN if you don't have the original disc or anything. So you can definitely, if you're on PS3 still, like, you can download it for that. God, that game is so good, and it has that constant structure of like, you kind of catch up and figure out what the hell is happening, and then it's like, nope, here's this brand new thing and this crazy backstory to it, and also really fucking crazy psychology. So, you know, all that thing that you figured out before, wrong, so figure it out again. Like, here's a bunch of new shit. Everything you knew about your past, totally wrong as well. Which I love that kind of stuff. So that has been the primacy of my time. So it's an oldie, but a goodie. I actually even thought, I was like, oh shit, I should probably play something new. And I fired up Twilight Princess SG because I picked that up last week. I already played it on the Wii, so mm-hmm. I didn't get too terribly far into it. But still been enjoying the hell out of it. But I was like, you know what? No, I really focus my efforts here onto Xenogears. And I feel like... Like I said, you've been working on that for a while. Yeah, I have been working on that for mm-hmm. a while because I get to sit down for like half an hour, 45 minutes, which is not a lot of time to play a JRPG.
That's a conversation with an NPC.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, it's like I talked to somebody in a town. Yeah. It's like, fun. Yeah. Turn system off.
There was not a save point. Had to do it again a couple days later.
So yeah. I've been good up until earlier this week when I had like, I was like, I have to go. I can't go any further. So it's like,
you
I
don't
had
just
to, like,
hit pause and then go.
No.
And then come back.
No.
Like 14 hours.
Because I
later.
Don't know when I will be able to come back to it. And. It's, you know, it's
nobody touch the TV,
no,
Mom.
Touch it. Don't turn it off. I'm also like, we can change the input. Yeah, we can change the input on the TV, but I'm also in my head like.
I used to leave it on and just unplug everything.
Oh, so yeah.
I didn't have a memory card for the first like 20-something hours of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How the hell did
you? It was the worst.
Oh,
I was like,
play
the game and then like dream about it.
I did Metal Gear Solid like that. At first.
There wasn't. I was so lucky.
Yeah. But no, I'm also being a, you know, the engineer nerd in my head, I'm like, PS3s don't do well with being left on for a long period of time. So I'm like, I'm just going to shut this guy down. I'm just going to turn it off for now. So,
shut it down.
Sorry,
shut
for
it
down. Loss.
But yeah, so no, this one's doing, I got, yeah, the slim model, they fixed a lot of the socket issues with the processors, but I'm still just like playing it on the safe side. But good God, Xenogears, that game is fan fucking tastic. Which, and then I'm also playing that. I'm like, I still have Xenoblade Chronicles X that I have on the Wii U that I've been enjoying the hell out of and haven't picked up in a little while because that game's really addicting. And I'm already addicted to drugs and alcohol and video games.
Did I tell you I went on WebMD the other day?
No. Wait.
I went on WebMD and I was like, I have this ailment. What's wrong with me? I either have diabetes or alcohol abuse. One of those two.
Definitely not alcohol abuse.
Oh!
Oops.
It's probably diabetes.
Yeah, it's probably diabetes. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's better.
That was a poignant sound effect.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, so that's what we're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're playing. Let's get into a little bit of drunk talk. Twilight Princess HD dropped last week. Was it the 4th? Friday the 4th? Was
the date?
Sure.
It's something like that.
Yeah. A time in the recent past.
Time in the recent past of March 2016.
It fell down.
It fell down. And with that have come a lot of re-reviews, a lot of re-repinions? Re-repinions. Repinions. Grim Reaper opinions. A lot of reissued opinions to it, because that game came out, Twilight Princess came out at the end of the GameCube and the beginning of the Wii, and it was released on both systems.
Yeah.
And so it was actually originally designed for the GameCube, made up, set up for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Where they also decided, like, we also want to release this on the Wii. We want this to have a motion control component. How are we gonna do that?
Like,
the right
oh
hand?
Shit, we can make a lot of money because yeah, it's Zelda.
Exactly, we can totally do both of these
units.
And so
people,
you had the Wii version.
Twice.
Yeah, yeah, people have the Wii. Like, we could do the Wii version, and but we have to make it work with the motion controls, quote unquote motion controls for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was mirrored and flipped. So now Link was right-handed as opposed to left-handed. But all of that aside, that game dropped years ago. It suffered, well, a few years ago, and then a few days ago, we got the HD version. And we're kind of seeing this. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask. I haven't gotten the HD version. Which way is the map?
The map follows the GameCube version.
Interesting.
Yeah, everything is following the GameCube version for this. I picked it up. I had it pre-ordered a while ago because, you know, I'm a huge nerd. For the Zelda game, so I know, right? Yeah, it's surprising I'm on this podcast with how suave and not nerdy I am about anything. You can automatically see, after this has come back out and the attention that's been paid to it, the Zelda review syndrome is kind of coming into play. And if you don't know what that is...
Is it like Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes. No follow-up questions. Because I don't have any way to defend that statement. So the Zelda syndrome, or one of the things I've heard it called, I think it's actually one of my favorites, is the current Zelda game that comes out sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And then one that comes out as soon as the next one comes out, then that game, that one that sucked, was actually just a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was misunderstood.
No one knew about it.
Nobody really knew. Or they knew about it. It was like, it was totally panned, but I loved it.
Right.
Wind Waker had the same thing. Ocarina of Time even had the same thing. Like, Ocarina of Time almost got a slight pass on it because it was so new and so different. It brought a lot of people into the genre. But at mm-hmm. the same time, like, you know, long-term Zelda fans panned it at first.
3D?
Yeah. 3D, no, this is not a Zelda.
Bullshit.
This is not how it works. This is dumb. But then, you know, time goes by and it's like, no, this is one of the greatest video games ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And so... with that, I didn't want to, like, I was like, dude, should we discuss the Zelda syndrome? But I think it's like, you know what, that's kind of the way it goes. I feel like it's just what most well manifested in the Zelda series. Like, something comes out and people have been playing the series or part of the series initially, like, there's just nothing but bad attitude towards it. And then another new thing comes out and here's a new thing we can put our attention to and to hate. And now it's like, no, you know, actually this one had some really good elements to it and I enjoyed it. The point is everybody's playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is playing them. Everyone is getting something from it or getting something out of it. And I think the larger story is obviously this is a series that all of us have played, if not in its entirety, probably a huge chunk of its library and the games associated with it. So rather than like, is it, well, you know, was this actually a good game? Or was it actually, you know, not a good game? What was...
The answer is they were all good games.
Yeah. But what is your favorite Zelda game? And why was it your favorite Zelda game?
Okay.
So I think that I'd rather approach this topic from there because, again, we played probably most of the library, if not all. And just like James said, they're all good games. They are all good games. And I will stand behind that statement and I will defend it. But I think everybody's got some clear favorites. And I want to know what everybody's are. Does anybody want to jump in first? Who wants to take a look at this?
I'm not wearing underwear. A t-shirt. Well, I'm not wearing pants, first of all.
Not wearing pants. No pants.
Or underwear.
No pants, Lambert.
But it's okay because I'm made out of a goat from the waist down, like Pan. So I can be naked down there.
I was hoping like the devil. Because I got a very devil-oriented shirt on.
You do. So,
yeah.
But I don't have a Zelda shirt on either.
That's okay. You got ducks on yours. I mean,
yeah.
That's
if
awesome.
We were talking about Duck Hunt,
yeah, I'd be this would be totally, so we're not talking about our favorite Duck Hunt game.
Yeah,
and why
on the NES?
On the NES.
Which is your favorite Duck Hunt game on the NES, and why? That's a different show.
That's I'll put that in the notes. And I should say, like, side topic. This came up from our last podcast. When at some point we drunkenly were talking about the pros and cons of RPGs, and at some point we're like, we should talk about our favorite Zelda game. Mm-hmm. And so this is another reason for this topic coming up, because I was like, wait, Twilight Princess came out. Blah, blah, opinions, and such and such. Hey, we should talk about our favorite Zelda game and why we loved it.
Boom.
I would like to hear from our resident guest first.
That's me. I'm Patrick.
That's Patrick.
Yeah, because I'm wearing a Zelda shirt.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Very proud of that.
Yeah.
It's a very cool stained glass mosaic.
Yeah, it's like an Art Nouveau
Zelda,
Alphonse,
like Twilight.
Mooka.
Yeah,
it's got like
Twilight Princess. Totally, yeah, kind of Art Nouveau.
Totally bangable Zelda.
Right.
Like, I'd pee in that butt. Just saying.
Also, she could kick your ass.
I'm
like
into that.
40, yeah, me too. It's like, holy shit. You don't fuck with that Zelda.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I like the shirt also. yeah, I don't think this shirt gives me credibility, nor does my taste in Zelda give me credibility, but I will go first.
Thank you.
Probably because I have the least thought out shit to say. So
that's okay. We can revisit things.
I rarely think anything out.
Oh, no. Excellent. All right.
We can revisit things. I feel like we're gonna be throwing shit out there and probably come back to it. Like, wait, I want to change my answer. Yeah.
We're gonna be like a chimpanzee at the zoo.
Yeah.
Throwing shit,
jerking off in front of small school school children.
Excellent.
Yeah.
my favorite Zelda is Link to the Past.
This is Ian. I'm clapping.
Hello, my name is Ian, and I'm clapping.
I'm a clapaholic.
I
have to clap.
If I had to give reasons, though, it's very difficult. It is my as I said on the last show that I was on.
Which was the last show,
the most recent.
Well, how can it be the last one if we're recording now? This is the last one, then.
Fuck time paradox.
God damn it. I'm going to add some reverb to that right
Do it.
Is reverb like dubstep? Is that the same thing?
No, it's Skrillex.
I feel like you have a hard time with definitions.
Look, I'm not about labels. All right.
What did you say? Not about labels. I can't remember what you said you would do to her, but then your definition was I'd pee in her butt. Yeah, but there was a verb before that.
Bangable?
Yeah, bangable.
Yeah.
Like you learned in elementary school that banging is peeing in a butt or something.
That's how you do it?
That's how you make a baby,
oh,
right?
Fuck. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want
Gwyn's not here. Like, you've done it before, but we don't have Gwyn here to double confirm.
I've done it once before.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. I saw it on the internet once.
Twice.
Yeah.
You have two children.
I don't know how that happened.
I've done this once before.
Twice.
Oh, yeah. I got that other one.
I've never seen a paternity test. That's all I'm saying.
Link to the Past.
Link to the Past.
Well, you might not have it.
Well, like, I mean, I have reasons. They're just, I feel like they're not as defensible as, you know, actual game details.
I don't think you have to defend an opinion in favor.
I'm sorry. I'm so defensive.
Are they offensible?
You can fuck chickens in that one. Jesus.
That's my favorite.
I love
Zelda,
bestiality
in myself. I think it's my favorite. Well, okay, yeah, sorry. That's what I was saying. In the last episode, but not the last episode.
Right.
But the previous one.
Not the time paradox episode. The previous one.
Right. I said that I have a tendency for any series of game to, like, prefer the one that introduced me to that genre, to that title. And I think Link to the Past is no exception. But
Because you and I have, like, not to derail too much,
yeah.
But you and I have that spoken at length about Final Fantasy 3/6.
Right.
So 3 on the American Super NES, mm-hmm. because that was an equal favorite. And I remember asking you, and, like, well, the first reason you gave was, like, it was the first one that I played. It was,
yeah.
like, really the first one that I mm-hmm. got. And you played others outside of it.
Yeah.
And enjoyed them and had a lot of fun with them. But, like, that was your ultimate favorite, because this, it stuck with you as the mm-hmm. initial experience.
This is perhaps...
You never forget your first time.
Right, right. This is perhaps a subject for a different podcast, but it Link to the Past benefits from all of these advantages that I think the Super Nintendo had. Mm-hmm. Like before you went to like 3D graphics, and it was
that mode 7 map. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you had just enough detail to make the sprites interesting, but not enough detail that your imagination didn't have to fill in the blanks or bridge the gap between what you see on the TV and what you saw in the instruction book.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember the intro to that game gave me a legitimate sense that what I was about to do was part of a really important story. Mm. And I'd also read the little, like, kind of the fable in the intro.
Yeah,
in the beginning of the instruction booklet,
which was great. That instruction booklet was beautiful.
Yeah, like, the art was excellent.
Yeah,
every time I see a rendering of Curly Wind,
yeah,
I can't not see the little...
It had that like super cool like mosaic.
Yeah,
like, it was like talk speaking of ancient times, and it's like this is perfect. Like the artwork here is just absolutely perfect and really good story introduction to it.
Yeah. Those are my favorite parts. Yep. Also, the other benefits of this title were, you know, it was a pre-internet title. So, like, half of the game was conversations with my friends at school about where things were. Yeah, yeah, like, them trying to explain to me verbally where the fountain was that you had to toss it into to get upgraded items back out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's, like, no easy way to describe exactly where that is.
Makes it sound more... mythological and legendary.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like,
let me tell you the tale of how to get to the
precisely. Right, right. I'm gonna go into a real ass forest and
lost woods in that game. I got so fucking lost in there. No joke, because you had to take a certain pattern.
Did you also get wood?
Well, I mean, how old was I when I played this? It probably popped up a few times. I was like, why is this happening? Why is this happening?
Why is this happening?
Oh, damn it. No, this
my
is like
sock 19. Is crusty.
Oh, damn it. That would have been really early, because this was like 1992, 3 when this came out. So, yeah, that would have been really early exploratory, yeah. Ian.
Yeah.
Please continue.
I'm not sure what else to say. The music was excellent. The music was excellent. And it set the tone. Like, I that was at the age that I played it. I think I was like 7 or 8 or something.
Have you heard
the dungeon music was legitimately scary to me.
Well, it was really that music still sticks with me. Have you heard, by the way, if there's actually anybody listening to this podcast, check out Zelda Reorchestrated.
The people there.
It was like a small group of artists that actually did a symphonic reorchestration, like some computer aided, some like live music, but it's actually really, really good. All their tracks are free to download, and they've been going through these Zelda games systematically.
Excellent.
And so they would have like the Lost Woods, or they have like a Dark World dungeon and a Light World dungeon, because they each had their own different themes to it. And they do, and the songs might be, they might have reorchestrated to just maybe like 1 to 3 minutes, because it's the songs were, you know, shorter, it's like looping sort of theme, but it's like really, really beautiful. So yeah, check it. They call it Z-Rio, Zelda Reorchestrated.
Okay.
So yeah, highly recommend that. We'll throw that in the show notes.
Awesome.
Boop, boop.
Just click at the bottom there. I think, is that, I don't know, that's how that
touch
works.
Your bottom. Touch someone's bottom.
Click on your bottom.
Yeah.
And then you're good.
Yeah. Way up there.
Click in your bottom.
Click in your bottom. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep going. If you feel resistance. If you feel resistance, keep going.
A little bit softer now.
Yeah, I can't think. I don't know what else to say about
that's
it.
Okay.
I think, can I just mention a couple of interesting stories, though?
Nope. We don't like interesting things on this podcast. Keep it real boring, please.
Yeah, yeah. Super boring.
I used to rent the game repeatedly from Tower Records.
Target's rented games?
Yes, man, and a lot of people didn't know it. Well, I'm not even sure if they all did it, but I know the one in Sacramento did where I got mine. I would rent it, and then I would, like, throw a fucking tantrum every time the game had to go back because I made so much progress, I knew that some snot-nosed piece of shit was going to just erase my game on principle.
Right.
And,
Patrick, erase!
Yeah. Who the fuck is this? Deleted. Yeah, my mom had to, like, counsel me. She was like, someone will really appreciate the work that you did to... put into this game.
Oh, that's sweet, but nobody did because your mom couldn't break it to you that everyone's an asshole.
Yeah, right. It's not the time in your life for you to understand.
You'll learn that on your own.
right. But I think it was the first game that like required actual effort and wasn't, you know, if you died, you had to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you saved and there was progress.
Yeah.
And you would lose it if you had to return your rented game. I think that was my first experience with that.
Made it all the more dire for you, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, Mario Brothers was, but that doesn't count because it's Mario. I don't know why that's true.
Why doesn't it count? Yeah, I have no way. No, I have no reason.
I owned Mario, so that's why I didn't count.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have to rent it 100 times.
I've actually, like, I've beaten Mario, but I've actually not, like, I actually haven't met a lot of people who really have. They're like, oh no, I at World 7, I don't, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, oh, I couldn't, like, I had to, I remember being a kid, like, being, like, I beat it and was super stoked about it, and my parents didn't care.
So, my friends at school, there's these twins at school, identical twins.
Nice.
And they were like my video game go-to gurus, and they like finish each other's sentences and shit.
Were they ladies? Or are they dudes?
That's fine.
Okay.
Dudes.
Were they hot dudes?
Were they like...
I'm trying to see if you ever bedded some hot twins. Dudes or ladies, who cares?
They had bowl cuts. They had, you could say they were hot.
Was it like the Shining?
I won't.
Like the twins in The Shining? Where
they were super
there was a hallway full of blood all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And like, you're just shaking and like in slow motion. The blood's
Do you guys know how to beat this level?
Every time I had a question about Zelda, I would go to them and I had to go through, right. It was like a set of trials I had to complete in real life in order to get any information about this fucking game.
And they spoke in riddles and,
They like finished each other's sentences. It was funny. These guys were like my best friends, but they were also hilarious. but like they had a subscription to Nintendo Power, so they
that's lucky how they knew bastards. Shit.
The tome. Let us consult the tome of power.
But they never finished Link to the Past, and what? Like they're like they were super into role playing games, but like didn't have a whole lot of dexterity. So anytime you had to, you know, dodge shit.
And this is a very you like, couldn't this set is the fairly battle. Different than like a turn based battle.
Right,
like,
you couldn't gotta, set the like, battle system involved. To wait. They wouldn't finish.
You gotta
the game.
Like defend and dodge. And swing. Right. Yeah.
I got to the end of that game, and I was like, I felt so terrible that they couldn't experience the ending with me that I literally made a comic book where I redrew every scene from the ending and all of the text.
Are
I was like
you serious?
Transcribing all the text so I could bring it to school.
That's
and, like,
awesome.
And it was like an inch and a half thick, like tome of like frames from the ending.
Oh my god, that's amazing. You would have been an amazing friend. Like I could never be like, no, here's what happens, man. And it's
I made
awesome.
A comic.
You can
for
read
you.
It. You can read it. There's pictures I drew them.
Yeah, I drew that. I'm an artist. Please support my art.
Yeah. Please support my art.
That's an amazing story, though.
Yeah. No. That was the first time giving a shit about a game's plot.
Yeah.
I was like, you have to know what happens.
Yeah.
Nintendo Power just tells you how to get there.
Yeah.
They're not gonna recap the fucking
ending. No.
I'll do that for you. Anyway.
Jaime.
Hello.
Hello. Did you pick a favorite?
I think
Can you land on
Super one? Mario Brothers 3. Wait, what is the topic
tonight?
That
was the best Zelda game of all time was Super Mario Brothers 3.
That's
our podcast.
I've been thinking about it, and I really liked Wind Waker.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably more than other games was one that people just didn't get.
No, that was super panned.
I don't want to be on a boat and...
What the fuck is this cartoon shit?
Yeah.
It's so
Baby
weird.
Link?
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Yeah. But I really liked just the cartoony kid Link, and like halfway through the game you realize everything underwater kind of is like other games, and like it's just flooded, so is this global warming? What's going on?
That's right.
It had this, there was like kind of this dark, like for all of its color, like you could fire up that GameCube game, and I will say, like, I didn't have a GameCube back in the day, and I actually never finished Wind Waker, which is bothering the hell out of me, but I have it on GameCube because I got a GameCube because I'm a goddamn adult now. So I bought a GameCube and I have the HD version. So, like, you know, I'm gonna finish up the GameCube version and play the HD version on Wii U. But when you play that, like, there is this, like, for all this color and all this brightness, there's like there's still this impending sadness to the game, like you see everything's underwater.
There's this dead society. Like,
yeah, and it's and
everybody
it's,
died.
It's as if almost something as like it's so bright and happy because something terrible has happened, and this is like it's a compensating for something. And I mean, I've also like I still haven't finished the end. I've heard tales. Like I'm still kind of like it's years. It's like probably a decade plus, so I'm totally fine if a spoiler, but somebody's like, no, this is also like the first Zelda game where it's like, you really finish off Ganon. Like, you put a sword through his goddamn head. I was like, oh shit, really? And like, yeah. So it's like,
but you're really cartoony, cute when you do it.
Stab a man through his head. I'm like, whoa, fuck.
Yeah, that's true. But I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, but the opposite
of the aesthetic is probably...
I haven't even, again, I haven't even seen it with my own eyes, but... That would be a very beautiful artistic ending, I would feel.
Yeah. And it's got cute music, and it's just real fun.
Have you played the HD remake at all?
I have not played the HD remake.
Okay, I was going to see what your thoughts were, because I'm playing the original, and when I say playing, like, I fired it up for a little bit, and then I was like, shit, I've got a bunch of other crap that I need to go and play. But yeah, I haven't played the HD remake yet, so I'm kind of curious to see, like, if you play it, like, what do you think the differences betwixt the two are? I know Gwyn was, I think he replayed it. He was definitely a big fan of it. Our homie who ain't here. If you make a vagina with your hands, hand vagina, and make it blubber, then you
don't
do
get
it three
wrong.
Times.
Don't get me wrong.
And he will show
Vaginas
up.
Are great, I've heard.
So I'm told.
But not Danny.
Not Danny.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, though, Gwyn, whose wife is exploding with child. There's going to be another Gwyn on this planet.
Just like that movie Alien, just right out of the chest. I think that's where it's going to come out.
Oh well. Just a little. This I just envisioned this tiny Danny
with a beard and glasses.
Yeah. And sullen. It already has to go to work. We love and hate you, Danny.
Yep. We love to hate you. So.
Is it me?
I think that's door one, two,
I'm three. All right, I'm going to double up. I'm going to double up here.
Third the turd.
I'm going to double up on what we've already mentioned. Mine is Linked to the Past as well.
Yes.
I will say, in similar fashion, it wasn't the first Zelda game I played, because the first one I played was The Legend of Zelda, but I didn't have an NES as a kid. We couldn't afford it. I had an Atari 2600. That was my first console, and it was the we would call these days the super slim version of it. So if you remember the Ataris at all, there was like the classic, had like the wood grain finish on it, and then there's the later plastic one when they made it even cheaper.
So that wasn't like a Sony phenomenon.
It was not. No, Atari did this amidst all the million clones that that were of the Atari 2600, which caused the video game crash of 1983 and
the dark times,
the dark days. Thank you. So I didn't have an NES, but I had a lot of neighbors and friends who had them. So I would get to play Legend of Zelda on there, and I enjoyed it. I was like, this is a lot of fun, but it would be whenever we'd be hanging out at their house, and that cart would happen to be like their brother, or they were just like, hey, let's play this for a little bit. Link to the Past, I had a Super Nintendo, and I was gifted this game from a family friend. And they were like, hey, I know, like, I feel like
you're
this
a nerd.
Is a, yeah, you're a nerd. You know, you're like, you, this is a game you'll probably like. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it was like, and I, you know, I recognize the name and the logo and everything. And that was really the extent of my recognition of it. And So jam that way up in there in my Super Nintendo. But similarly, like didn't tear the box apart, but opened up and was like, read the instruction manual. It was like, just, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, because it had a really good printing and everything too. It was like, this is interesting. And it like had this, all this gorgeous artwork. So it was like, I read this story, like was engrossed in the story before the game, put the game in, fired it up, and thought it was really cool because it was like, it had the 3D polygon Triforce.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, the future is now, because it's like these Mode 7 Super NES graphics. Yeah. And it's still is heartwarming to this day. As I remember the sound of it all, like in the introduction theme, and watching the little intro movie, and it's like, I would never watch the intros to video games, or like the attract screen. I was just like, go start, and it's like I watched the whole thing through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that game starts you out on such this ominous and dire note. Like, you wake up, your uncle wakes you up. He's like, hey, I've got to go handle something. Like, he's going to the Hyrule Castle. He's like, there's something going on. All this story that is like, wait, why is he going? Who the hell is he? What is he doing? I have to go to the castle. I have, you know, blah, blah, blah. Stay here. I'll be back later. And he bails. And the music is very, like, tedious and strained. Like, mm-hmm. it's creating this. I'm being a little kid and, like, why am I, like, I'm playing a game. Like, it was just strained. Yeah, I was felt anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left the room, like Link's house. I left the room and walked out, and it's pouring rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you have nothing. You have nothing there, and it's pouring rain. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, he said he's going to Hyrule Castle. Where the hell is that? I don't know where that is. I'm this tiny kid, because it just had this, it was just so good in that moment. Like, you have no weapons. You have nothing. You're some kid leaving a house, and because they had to leave for an emergency to the castle of all places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the monarch of your country lives. And then it's like, obviously I need to do something. There's an imperative to do something, and it's pouring rain, and you're just overwhelmed. Years later, I came across this this artist, he goes by the pen name Orioto. So if you go to DeviantArt and check out Orioto's work. He does a lot of video game based work, and he's really good at capturing those emotional moments. And he does one called Through the Night. Mm-hmm. And it's that initial scene from Link to the Past of Link emerging from his house. And it's still this top down view, the way he painted it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see it's just wide eyed and pouring rain. And it's just a, oh shit moment. Like, all of a sudden, like, the entire world comes in, like, I have to do something. Something, I don't know what it is, but my help is required. And if you read in the instruction booklet, it kind of told you, it's like, there's, because they do a lot with, like, telepathy in that game.
Yeah.
Like, you have, the tiles that Sahasrara will speak to you through, which I was like, man, that's super cool. They have this shaman, he can talk to you. But he's kind of, like, sleeping, and he gets this telepathic message one way or another from Zelda, et cetera, et cetera. But then, yeah, you have to, like, climb, like, find your way into the castle. It's, like, it's under this rock or a bush, this secret entrance to it. And then, like, you have no weapons, and there's all this shit around you. And then you find your uncle, and he's laying on the floor, dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, and he has a sword and seal, and he's, like, here, take this. You need to go and save Zelda. And to this day, I have no idea. Nobody has any idea what it was. It was just this huge cliffhanger. He says, Zelda is your dot, dot, dot. And he fucking bites it. That's it. He dies. It's like, what? My sister? My, like,
can I still bang her?
Can
afterwards?
I still bang her super hard? Yeah, what's going to happen? It was the banging situation here. And that game took you through a journey. And it was, I own modern consoles and I play modern games. And I think the biggest struggle they have right now is it's so easy to tell you everything right now, because whether or not they have, like, the availability of high definition graphics or near unlimited memory constraint, like, there's no memory constraints like there were back then. The art of making those games was not just making a good game, but, like, making your imagination have to fill in those blanks and fill in lines, even all the way down. I love the electronic science of it all. Like, pixels. We're displaying at a 240p, and you have scan lines, so they were made to bleed into other lines of your display. So your mind put together a lot of this, and the artwork was a lot more complete. And this game did so much of that, like huge chunks of story, but there was so much. Its idea was to create more of an emotion behind it, where you got involved into it, and that was my first deep experience into a game like that. And then as the game went on and Link got better and more powerful, I felt more confident. Like, fuck yeah, I'm going to go in that dungeon. Like, you had crazy upgrades in that game. Like, your sword could have, like, four different upgrades, I think, total. Mm-hmm. So it's like you start with, like, a little adventure sword. And then later on you're like, the master's fucking, and you're taking out guys in one shot that used to take you three.
Yeah.
And then later on you get it tempered, and it's just like you're just kicking ass right and left. Right. And you got, what, the golden one? You have to throw that shit into the pond. You also got, like, the silver arrows from that. And there were so many little secrets. Like, you could swim under a bridge. Here's a homeless guy. He's going to give you a bottle. Yeah, here you go, buddy. Here's a bottle. Like, thanks. Bye.
When would that ever happen in life?
Yeah, homeless guy giving you recyclables. Yeah, so weird. Not gonna happen. I could wax on and on about that game for hours and how well it told a story almost in minimalism and by making the environments. The like you said, the music was incredible. Even the little effects they would do. I think it was. One of my favorite dungeons was Blind's Dungeon. I don't remember if he was the thief. Yeah,
with the butterfly?
Yeah, and he was...
No. I remember you. Yeah.
Never mind. He was the thief, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you went in. When you go into the dungeon, it's like the game and, like, all the artwork was set to cast huge beams of light that was coming in from the outside. And that, like, playing with light and dark was how you got into the dungeon and got farther into it. And like all these every single dungeon had, like, lore behind it, and it's like, oh, this is the old Eastern Palace, like, this is from way back in the day, and you had to have the stupid monkey that you had to catch just to get into the fucking palace. It drove me up the wall. And then, like, the tower, like, it was just such, it was my first exposure to really, really good game making at that high of a level. We talked about RPGs in our most recent podcast, and that's what got me intrigued by it, was all those intricacies, everything that's involved in it. You might speak with somebody for 5 minutes, but then an entire story structure is based behind them that you might not know, but you have to glean from those situations, just almost like you would in life. And so that game stuck with me. That really stuck with me. And so many, like, gameplay levels, from mechanics all the way to just different emotional levels. So to this day, it remains my favorite. And not to say, like, every moment I played of Wind Waker has felt similar, has been a very similar moment. Yeah. Link's Awakening came out shortly after, Link to the Past. And that game is awesome. Like, also one of the best games on the Game Boy, period.
Yeah.
One of the best games on the Game Boy.
That also had great music with far less resources than the Super Nintendo.
Less resources. Really cool mechanics where you could switch out your A and B button. So it's like you could have a shield and jump, but you might not have a sword because, like, you got two buttons, and so you got to, like, switch out your inventory all the time. Also, you could jump in that game, which was super cool. But yeah, so that's my favorite. Does anybody have one that they hate, or is there, like, a particular? I have an ulterior because I definitely have this thing to say, but does anybody have one that's like, it's not my favorite, but this one holds a special place because...
I don't think I'm smart enough to play Majora's Mask.
That game.
Because oh, it's morning again. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It just was morning.
I think, well, because normally in a Zelda game, it's like, you have time.
Yeah.
You can be like, you can stare at a puzzle and, like, nope, did it wrong. Got to leave the room, reset it, and come back. Nope, still stupid. Let me reset it and come back. That game is like, you're running out of time.
Why does the moon have a giant face on it?
Which is super creepy.
And what a, it, like, looks like a molester.
What a creepy art asset that was. Yeah, like this really creepy...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, that fucking moon is, like, in a bunch of Nintendo stuff. It was in Star Fox, that little...
Was it?
Well, I always associated that face with the fucking asteroid that you had to use to get to the black hole or whatever.
Yeah.
I always felt like it was the same thing. Anyway, maybe it's not. But Yeah, no, we should talk about Majora's Mask for a second because
Danny's not here. Rare shout out to Danny. This is his favorite Zelda game.
Which is probably why I dislike it.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Just because he likes it.
Yes, yeah. Oh, you like that one? I hate it. That was fucking
Oh, bad. That's your favorite one? Stupid.
Yeah. It went under the radar because it came out just a little while after Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. And it also had the you needed the memory expansion.
Yep, so a bunch of people never played it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I gotta buy this and another thing to play it. And so a lot of people didn't get to play it at all.
That game probably was like Link to the Past was for me an introduction to like plot.
Yeah.
And Majora's Mask, I would say if it wasn't for Final Fantasy VII, Majora's Mask was like introduction to like legitimate depression experience.
Yeah, the game. Good God, the beginning of that. And have you seen any of the, like, there's actually really good documented thoughts and theories on what that game means, and Aonuma kind of alluding to a lot of that, where it's like, in the event, like, Link actually, like, one of the thoughts is like, okay, let's say you take the storyline, Link actually died. In Ocarina.
I hadn't heard that one.
And this is him dealing with his own death in the afterlife. Like, this game is him.
Which is why it's like Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah. It's like, always repeating.
Until you get your day right.
And the theme is ending and coming to comfort with that. And like he died as a child in Ocarina of Time, and now it's, you know, and he becomes powerless at first. And there's a lot of really, really interesting theories about it. Nothing confirmed, but like there's been like Aonuma, who's the main producer of the series now, kind of a, which is actually, he's quoted, he's like, this is actually kind of my favorite game that I've produced, or Zelda game that I produced, and he's kind of alluded to something like that, where it's like it's taking things a different direction, and it's saying it's more of an analysis of a psychological situation than it is like just like, hey, you're an unsuspecting hero, which the Zelda series I feel is very good at. Like, it's like, hey, you got to do this right now. And that's what makes a hero. It's not, you know, not somebody who's like excited to go and do this, but somebody who's like in a situation where it's the only thing they can do. And just by the sheer will of their countenance, they accomplish it.
You can't just go in and sit and fish.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah,
yeah. But yeah, Majora's Mask. That's a big one. Patrick, you have a runner up. Do you have another one where you're like, hey, this one really? You kind of nodded at Wind Waker.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say earlier, Wind Waker was like, I hadn't really felt that same, like, I don't know, something about the art style in Link to the Past. I hadn't seen again, and I was kind of longed for until Wind Waker.
Yeah.
For some reason, Wind Waker felt the same. Like, I've got that sense of weird, distorted character body shape from cel-shaded Link that I only got from top-down Link in Link of the Past. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know why, but the art style seemed like it was a nod to Link to the Past almost.
Yeah.
But it was able to three-dimensionalize it in a way that, you know, made the gameplay.
Things were, yeah, there was a lot of, I think about, like, sometimes the guards in Link to the Past, where it's like,
yeah,
at first, like, oh, this guy's running at me at a really high speed, and later on, it's like, you're just a dumb, goofy asshole. Like, this is going to be really easy for me to dodge you, jump behind you, and stab you in the back.
Yeah.
And then, like, and Wind Waker kind of had that similar thing. And then you grow up, and later on, you look back at Link to the Past, like, they were trying to kill me, because I was apparently an enemy to the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were convinced, like, I'm an enemy of the state, and I'm to be killed on sight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like, that was really dark. Holy shit. But I didn't really notice this. I was a kid. It was colorful, and it was, you know, it was fun. It was like one of the between the line things that I didn't quite pick up.
Yeah. I that was a nod to Wind Waker. I feel like we're ignoring Ocarina of Time's, and so I'm going to continue that theme
please
and
do.
ignore it.
Oh, they're going to say, like, I'm going to talk about it. Like, oh, no. Please do. Like, no, don't. No,
yeah, like, everybody's played it or should fucking play it and not listen to anyone else's opinions on the game. Just play the fucking game.
Yeah, it is really good.
But, it's super good. But
if you want to hear a good antithesis opinion of it, man, I'm doing a lot of shout-outs on this podcast.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
There's a YouTube channel, Game Grumps, which is really, really good. It's kind of different than your traditional Let's Play. It's they are playing through a game, but it's like the crews that play it, especially Aaron and Danny, who are playing through
who are the kind of the main game grumps right now, are just funny as shit. But Aaron, one of the main hosts, he goes by the name Ego Raptor, and he has his own little YouTube channel, and he does a video series called Sequelitis about sequels to video games. And it's actually his panning of Ocarina of Time versus it's really, really good. But there's a moment where he stops. He's also an animator, and so he animates himself, like giving opinions, and he just goes, "Oh shit, I'm shitting on Ocarina of Time on the internet. I'm gonna get crucified." But it's a really, really, so we'll throw that in the show notes here too. Yeah, but nice. I would also encourage you, like, check that one out, because it's a very good analysis. There's some points where I'm like, well, I can't argue with that. That is good. I mean, I still walked away like, I love the hell out of the game, but it's a really, if you want to hear an antithesis to a good opinion of Ocarina of Time, check out Ego Raptors.
I remember not accepting the game, being a link at the time, being a Link to the Past kid, being skeptical about whether Ocarina of Time was going to live up to my, you know, standard. Same thing about Final Fantasy VII. Like, there's no way it's better than 6. There's no way. plus, I got to buy a PlayStation and I don't have any money. Final Fantasy VII.
It's definitely going to be terrible.
But if I had to give a shout out to a game, I would probably use Skyward Sword, only because Ocarina of Time gets its kind of automatic shout out anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I really liked Skyward Sword. I really liked the art style.
I agree.
The music was good. I got kind of some of the same emotionality I got from Majora's Mask, although that game had some very unique feels that I haven't reproduced since then.
Ever.
Ever.
Those feelings are unique to that game.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I can pinpoint it, but I definitely. Yeah, I also liked how they handled this is a hugely mechanical thing, but how they handled like distant rendering issues.
Oh,
they would just
do
the paint stroke thing, and it was super pretty, and I never felt bad about it. Felt cheap or stupid. Like, just drop the number of polygons.
I think, I would agree. Like, I think from a very similar aspect, like, I really enjoyed Skyward Sword as well, and I was really excited, and was like, I mean, since Ocarina of Time, like, I've been following, like back in the day, like before Ocarina of Time, I was following like video game magazines and watching like early sketches and renderings. So like I remember with Skyward Sword, like it was, I mean, it's the Reddit age at that point. So I'm in the R Zelda subreddit all the time. And like, here's like, oh, they just announced this and here's some leaked art assets. And like, super excited. Game came out, played and loved it. The thing I hated the most were the motion controls.
Yeah.
And the saddest part of that was possibly the best use of the Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah.
Like it was on point. If this is how you're going to use the system, this is how you're going to do it. It's like, that's great. I'm tired of it. I don't care. I don't want to use the goddamn motion controls anymore. This is annoying. But the rest of the game, which I know some people are like, I couldn't look past that. I couldn't do that. It's like, oh, I just enjoyed the hell out of that game, the rest of it. And so it's, I'm, you know, predicting with ease right now, like, yeah, we hate that game now, but when Zelda Wii U comes out, we're gonna be like, you know, nobody appreciated Skyward Sword. That was a really good game. That was really awesome game. Zelda Wii U sucks.
Yeah,
or Zelda NX or whatever the hell they're gonna do with it, with all the rumors and such.
Zelda Dolphin.
I'm sure it'll be great in 10 years.
Yeah. It is after the most current game.
Right.
It'll be great, and then later on, it'll be like one of the greatest games of all time. Yeah, Skyward Sword.
It's going to be someone's first Zelda.
That's it. I think that's really it. Like and I saw several people on forums posting things like that. Like, hey, this is going to be somebody's first introduction to the series. And they're going to speak of it like the way we speak of Link of the Past. Mm-hmm. Or the way we speak of Wind Waker. Where it was like, this man, it's like, whoa, this is my first time experiencing a game in this fashion. Like, whether they were really young before that and were maybe playing some fairly basic games and then came across this. And we're all of a sudden like, holy shit, what is this?
They're going to get wet.
Yeah, they're going to get real wet. So I will give a particular shout out to Twilight Princess, the one that just came out in HD, which was one that until Skyward Sword, most people ever, like, really, really hated. And and even now, now they're like, the reviews are coming out and they're really great again. They're very positive towards it. And a couple good points, actually. There's an article on Polygon. A couple of their writers were talking about, like, hey, if you want to play this game, you really want to enjoy it, play it in hero mode, because that offers a really good challenge. I will say Twilight Princess was quite possibly one of the easiest of the Zelda games I've ever played. But I do remember a lot of people not liking it too much at the time, and I ended up loving it. And I think it was a product of the space in life, which is where sometimes where a game, even just a great game, can be made fantastic to yourself. Where other people, you know, other people are like, no, that was fun. I had a lot, and you could be like, I fucking love that game. This game came in a spot in me personally. This podcast about to get real. This came in a really shitty spot.
Came on some spot.
Came on this game. Came
in a spot in me.
It came in a spot in me. This game came out in a really, how about I say, a really very low point in life, a really rough patch, and it just, you know, it happened to be released at that point. And I just remember sitting and playing. And this is quite like one of the darkest Zelda games. I mean, there's the Majora's Mask, which might be like a little bit under the surface. This one was like right at the top. Like, no, this is, we're gonna set out depressing. We're gonna get weird, by the way. Yeah. We're gonna put you in crazy nighttime visions, like acid trip visions for a Zelda game.
It was dark because it was like nighttime
for half the game. Yeah, it was. You had this.
Wolf bit was like kind of rough.
Yeah, it was rough. But I also really like wolves. Like, I'm a huge wolf fan, so I was like, okay, I enjoy this. But there was so much like the whole Twilight thing, where it's just like fading light, you know, like, and it was,
world.
It meshed well with my mindset at that point. But so the thematic nature of that game played well. And I will also say one of the other things that made the game great is I played that game with a friend. And that friend was there when no one else was. And I really, like, this was a point where I definitely needed somebody. And we played that game together almost every day. And just like fucked around fishing this out, whatever. And I still regard that person as somebody who still is very dear to me and somebody who really, really ushered me through a rough time. But this game also was kind of there. Like, this game was instrumental to it because I enjoyed the hell out of the game. Mm-hmm. And there were themes in it that I got from it that, not to sound privileged, but I feel like a lot of other people missed because their mind wasn't emotionally tuned to it. And mine was at that moment. And so when I heard Twilight Princess HD, everybody's like, oh, that'll be neat. That'll be cool. Like, yeah, you know what? I actually enjoy Twilight Princess HD. I was like, holy, oh my God, this really, it's coming back out? Like, I can't wait to play this. And it's like, I got it and I fired it up and it's like, this is amazing. I don't, like, the same friend is no longer with us, but, so it's kind of like hurting that it's not, you know, like, oh, I'm missing that aspect of them being, but at the, you know, so I don't have that quite the same experience. But at the same time, that's also, for as much as a game is played by yourself and like reading a book and enjoying a piece of art, this is where the podcast gets real. Sometimes it's also other people who make the game for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna drop that. Never gonna sign off. No, not really. Really keep drinking. But no, so Twilight Princess has a very, very special place in my heart. I know it was rough. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if you played on the Wii, sometimes those motion controls were dumb. If you played on the GameCube, you probably actually had a little bit better. You know, probably enjoyed it a little bit better. But
I'm glad you said that. That's like I feel bad not having like game mechanics or something I can refer to as the reason why a game is my favorite.
Nope.
Almost every game that is my favorite has a life.
A favorite could be like purely emotional thing. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly why.
Yeah.
But
I didn't finish Majora's Mask, but I played it over the phone with my friend in Mendocino. So we would call each other and like play Majora's Mask on the phone and try to like try to coordinate where we were and wait on each other to finish parts of temples. Shit.
So it was almost like you were playing online, but the games weren't connected.
Yeah. It was the first online game.
It was a dial up.
Yeah, it was a dial up.
Take that, Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Oh, Sega Dreamcast.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I did love the Dreamcast. We got anything else? Yes. I think we covered them.
I think that's all of the Zelda games.
That's it.
what about the connection between all the games? Is that something we should talk about? Like, how do they all fit together timeline-wise?
Should we assemble conspiracy theories?
Is there
all time we have for this week.
Like, that's an underlying thing that there is, talked about, right?
Well, there is an official timeline now.
Like, it's official. Wait, what?
There is an official.
What?
What? Wait, what?
What?
You didn't know this?
No, there's a real timeline?
There's a real timeline.
That's kind of disappointing.
So
it's not mythological.
No, like that we don't all get to like speculate on it forever. And we should be able to speculate on that forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
I think there's people who looked at it and are kind of like, there's some holes in this, and this one makes a lot more sense. So I
who made the fucking timeline?
Nintendo.
Kill them.
get I hate them.
Well, Miyamoto will be on the next a bit drunk, so we can. We'll be killing Miyamoto on the next bit drunk. But no, there's a book. I actually have it. Like, I will show it to you. It's a book called The Hyrule Historian.
Oh, I have that. I
it actually at it. Has. Yeah. So it has.
Wait, that's what that is?
Shit.
You're supposed to read books?
I've had that in my possession.
It has the official title. Find out
on a podcast.
Yeah. With the content of the book that you
have. I'll remember it fondly forever because friends.
You know, we'll pretend like, nope, there is no official title, Patrick. You can conspiracize for the rest of your life. Conspiratate.
It's like exercising with a conspiracy.
You can constipate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get this conspiracy.
You can hold all that poop inside.
Are you conspiracized?
You should do some Philip. Do you want to take us home?
Take us home?
Take us home? Get us out of here?
Okay, so we have a podcast.
And there's three
you,
mics. Three
you have listened to you said podcast. And I have not practiced this week. I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't practice what I was going to say. So it's going to be raw.
You look great. You sound rehearsed.
Unique New York.
unique. See? I don't have it.
New York.
We are people who have presences in a virtual world called Twitterverse.
This is true.
Right? So my name is James.
True. Story checks out.
And if you want to look for me on the internet, I'll probably deny your request to follow me because I forget that I say you should follow me. But at Doodoo Monster is how you can find me.
It's such a good one, right? Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then there's Ian over there.
There's Ian right here. I'm Ian Greer. You can find me at The Space Ian on the Twitter. You can also find the entire podcast at The Bit Pub, because that's this thing we do at The Bit Pub. This is A Bit Drunk, which, you know, I think we do when we're at The Bit Pub. We get a bit drunk. You can also email us if you want to talk to Patrick. You can email.
Don't
talk to Patrick. Nope. Don't talk to Patrick.
He's untouchable.
Do not look him in the eye whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But you can talk to us via email as well. You can do podcast@thebitpub.com. If you want to talk to Patrick, just make subject. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, boom.
And then content. Fuck you.
Okay.
And then sign your name. And and then put your address so Patrick can come to your house and say, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And then hug you.
Mm-hmm. Where do people send money?
Just to your personal P.O. box. Yes. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just use my Twitter and then...
Pee on a box. Pee on a box and send it to James.
And then use Square Cash and just send me money.
Send me money.
I just decided people should give me money right now.
He will accept that. Not the podcast.
This podcast can't happen unless James has some money.
just $4 a day will keep me in school. And feed me
$4
and
an
give
hour.
Me clean water to drink.
It's a fresh hay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Every day.
Hey.
Here's a fresh hay.
That's all I'm looking for. Okay, so that's how you get a hold of us. And then I say a thing where I go, this has been, and we are a bit drunk.
I would say, yeah, we are a bit drunk. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody. Cheers. Bye.